few years ago, I read two books written by Robert Fulghum. The first one is one that I'm sure you may have heard of, entitled Everything I Needed to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. And there's a lot of truth in that. The second one he wrote was entitled The Bed Was on Fire When I Lay Down on It. In the first chapter of that book, he relates a story. A fire department was called to this house that was burning. And when they got the fire put out around the house, they went inside and there was a man lying in bed, and the bed was afire. They said, "Sir, what happened and started the fire?" He said, "I don't know. The bed was on fire when I lay down on it." And the first reaction that you have to that is, how stupid. But before you react like that, let's do a little bit of thinking based upon the Word of God. In Romans 1, beginning at verse 28, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful." Notice, "who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." In a sense, he said, the people who are involved in these specific sins, and he gives a long list, he said they not only know that the judgment of God is against that, but knowing this, they do these things and have pleasure in others that do them. Aren't they exactly like the man that said he lay down on the bed and it was on fire when he lay down on it? In Romans the 7th chapter, beginning at verse 15, Paul said, "For that which I do, I know not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would do, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that which I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." I have a hard time even reading that passage. But Paul is saying, the things that I shouldn't do and know I shouldn't do, sometimes I do. And the things that I should do and know that I should do, sometimes I don't do them. If we were honest with ourselves, wouldn't we have to admit that we all face that same idea? I suggest that the man who said, "I lay down on the bed, it was on fire when I lay down on it," may be a little more to the extreme than we are, but let's reason further. Let's go back to the Old Testament and suppose we had an opportunity to interview some of these people. Abraham, according to Genesis 12, 11 through 13 and 20, verse 2, "Twice you lied about your wife. Oh, you told the truth in as far as you told it, but you left the wrong impression and caused a situation where God intervened because you lied about your relationship with Sarah. You said she's my sister instead of saying she's my wife. Do you think Abraham knew at that time that it was wrong to lie? If we had had the opportunity to talk with Abraham just before either of these incidents happened and said, Abraham, is it wrong to tell something that's a lie? What do you think he would have said? And yet on both those occasions, he lied. Think about David. If we could have talked to David before the incident with Bathsheba and then the incident that followed with her husband, and we had said, King David, let me ask you a couple questions. Is it wrong to commit adultery? What do you think he would have said? Is it wrong to lust after somebody else's wife? What would have been his answer? Is it wrong to conspire with someone to put another person in a place that he's going to be killed? To conspire to see that murder is committed or that someone is killed with you knowing that that's what's going to happen? What do you think David would have said? Well, David would have said, I know it's wrong. In fact, I know how strongly he would have said that, because when Nathan came to him to confront him with what he had done after these incidents and told him the little story about the one ewe lamb that the man had, David was so frustrated at that, and I think we could even say so angered at that, that he said, a man that would do that ought to be killed. And then Nathan said, David, you're the very man I'm talking about. David, you knew the bed was on fire when you lay down on it. And yet you went ahead and did that. Judas is mentioned along with the other 11 apostles in Matthew 10 verses 1 through 4. He's listed along with them as having the abilities that Jesus gave to them to perform even miraculous deeds and to go about teaching. And evidently Judas was involved in all of those things. In fact, the Bible says that the devil entered into him after he was given the sop. And evidently Judas, in the first part of his work, though he may have had tendencies in the wrong direction, did many things that were good. Suppose we had met Judas during that time and said, Judas, what do you think about a person that would betray Christ? And what do you think about a person that would sell Christ for money? What do you think Judas would have said? I think he would have very vehemently said, well, that's as wrong as it can be. It's wrong that anybody would deny his master. It's wrong that anybody would turn his back even upon his leader. You're just thinking about it in physical and human terms. It would be wrong to sell another person to where he would be put to death and you get the money from it. But he did it anyway. When he had an opportunity to sell Jesus and was offered the 30 pieces of silver, he took it. Of course, later on, he changed his mind again, but here's a man who knew that the bed was on fire when he lay down on it. He knew it was wrong to betray Christ and to sell Christ, and yet he did it anyway. Think about Peter for a moment. If I were listing the greatest men that lived in New Testament times, Peter would probably be, along with Paul, the first I would put on the list after Christ. Probably the first three I would mention would be Paul and Peter and John. Peter was one of the most outstanding men that ever lived. And yet you remember that night when Jesus was beginning to be tried, and Peter was asked three times or accused of being associated with Jesus. He not only denied him, but he swore that he didn't even know who he was. A few days before that, if we could have asked Peter what he thought about that idea, what do you think he would have said? I don't have to speculate. I know what he said. He said, Lord, if everybody else turns their back on you, I won't. Now, you think he knew it was wrong to turn his back on the Lord? Certainly he did. You think he even thought, had confidence in himself that he would never do that? I believe so. And yet when he was faced with it, he lay down on the bed when the fire was still there. He knew what was wrong, but he didn't think it through. And It wasn't until that rooster crew the second time that he really came to himself and realized what he had done. Peter knew it was wrong. Suppose we had an opportunity to have talked with Ananias and Sapphira just after they were converted in the early history of the church. Before that time came that they were all selling their property and bringing that which they received to be used to help others. And we had said, Ananias and Sapphira, if you sell what you have, should you tell the truth about what part of it you give to help in this effort? What do you think they would have said? Why, certainly you should tell the truth. Whatever you give, however you divide what you have to help others, don't leave the wrong impression. Don't make it appear you're doing more than you're really doing. What do you think they would have said? I have no doubt they would have said it would be wrong to conspire to lie about what you're giving to support the work of the Lord. And yet, they conspired to do that. Conspired so much that they at different times lied about it. Ananias first and died, and then Sapphira, even after Ananias had died, not knowing that, lied about the situation. In each of these cases, each one of them knew what the situation was when they did what they did. And the most stupid act, series of acts, that I think I can find anywhere in the Bible is Samson. Samson fell in love with Delilah. People came to Delilah and said, see if you can get Samson to tell us where his strength is. He said, if you'll get some, really, in the other versions it says bowstrings, withs in the King James Version, and bind me, I'll lose my strength. They came, she did that, and the enemy came and were going to take him, but he had the strength and he broke those and they couldn't take him. Second time, Delilah said, you need to tell me now exactly where it is that your strength is. Well, if you take some new ropes and bind me, I won't be able to show my strength. So she took ropes and bound him, and the enemy came ready to take him, ready to punish him, but he had the strength and he broke those ropes. Third time, and usually even in baseball, three strikes are out. Third time, she said, you haven't been honest with me. Tell me where your strength is. And he said, well, if you'll take the 7 locks of my hair and sort of braid them, that'll take care of my strength. I won't have it. She did that. And they came, and again, he was able to show his strength. And then the fourth time, he told her the truth. Now, sometimes I make some mistakes. And sometimes I make some stupid mistakes. And you do too. But I don't believe that any of us would go the fourth time, and the fourth time tell the person what they really need to know, when we've already had 3 incidents that we saw the enemy come and knew the enemy was interested in destroying us. And the fourth time he told her the truth, cut his hair, and he lost his strength. I think that's the most stupid person that's described in the Bible. After 3 times, knowing what was happening, seeing what Delilah was doing, understanding what the enemy wanted to do, he then went and told her what she needed to know so that they could get rid of him. You think he knew the bed was on fire when he lay down on it? I don't believe Samson was that stupid in that he was one of the judges. But on this occasion, because of the circumstances, he acted in one of the most stupid ways of anybody that I've ever seen. You know, the Bible tells us that God expected that. He warned us about it. And it's even indicated in Luke 12 that there is a situation where some will have more stripes when they're beaten, and this is talking about final judgment, that some will have more stripes than others. I have a little difficulty in understanding that. I really don't believe that there are different degrees of heat in hell. But I have concluded in my study of this that there are different degrees in the capacity of people to suffer. And that may be where the different stripes are. And one who knows what's true and doesn't do it will be beaten with many stripes. One who doesn't know and does what's wrong will be beaten with few stripes. If two of us developed lung cancer and one of us has smoked all of his life, the one who has never smoked would not have to suffer in the same way that the one who has smoked and believes he's brought it on himself. You see, there's the different capacities for suffering, even in physical ways. God knew that there would be people who would do things when they know it's wrong to do it. He who knows what's right and doesn't do it will be beaten with many stripes. Jesus said, "He that heareth and doeth not is the foolish man that builds his house on the sand." You boys and girls remember that story in Matthew 7. Paul said, in talking about the devil in 2 Corinthians 2:11, "We are not ignorant of his devices." Now think about that. What's the difference in Paul saying we are not ignorant of the devil's devices and indicating we still go ahead and yield to him, and Robert Fulghum saying the bed was on fire when I lay down on it? Same principle exactly. We're not ignorant of the devil's devices. In fact, that favorite passage that we quote, "The devil as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour," if you stop and think about that, if he's a roaring lion, we ought to know where he is. We ought to realize when he's coming. There are passages that say sometimes the devil does hide and try to trick us and slips up on us, but in this passage he says he's like a roaring lion. I think, I really do, that in most instances, we know what's right and wrong. Sometimes we just don't do it. James described a situation in James 1, 23 and 24 where a man looks in a mirror and beholds what manner of man he is. Now notice that. He sees himself for what he is. And he's likening this to the Word of God. We look into the Word of God, spiritually speaking. This man sees himself. He knows what he looks like. And then he turns and goes away and forgetteth what he looks like. He forgets what manner of man he is. Isn't that a description of somebody who knows exactly what the problem is and then turns around and ignores it? The bed was on fire when he lay down on it. Think with me for just a minute and let's make some practical applications. Don't you think most of us know basically how to dress modestly? I'm not going to take the time to talk about how short something is, how tight something is, how sheer something is, or how gaudy, which is the other side of immodesty. I think every person in this audience who's had any opportunity to be taught has a pretty good understanding of what modesty is. And yet look at how people dress. Don't you think most of us know that it's right to tell the truth and it's wrong to cheat? I doubt that there's any student past kindergarten, maybe even before, who would not tell you if you asked that it's wrong to cheat. And yet how many do? How old do you think a child is generally when that child learns that it is wrong to lie? And yet, how many lie? And how many of us as we get older never get out of that habit? How many of us know that it is wrong to misrepresent the case when we're filling out our income tax on April the 15th or before? And yet, how many people do not be honest when they're doing that? Why do we have to take the time to prove the problems associated with alcohol, the drinking of alcohol? When you have a product that even the drivers of the trucks cannot use as they're delivering it, doesn't that say something? And when the use of it is taking lives and lives and lives every day, and the use of it is addicting people to where they become alcoholics and have to go to Alcoholics Anonymous, you think we don't know the problems that are associated with that? How many people do you think there are, even from the lower grades in elementary school on up through adulthood, who are unaware of the problems associated with drugs? I think even the younger generation may be better informed than the older generation. You think we don't know what cocaine can do? You think we don't know the power that these drugs have on the mind to destroy brain cells and to become the master of people? How many people do you suppose are in Jackson, Tennessee tonight who do not know that there are many problems associated with drug use? Very, very few. And yet look at the problems we have. Don't you think we know what the Bible teaches about respect for the bodies and minds of other people, and respect for someone who is another man's wife or another woman's husband? I suppose that there's a breaking point for all of us, and sometimes we may make mistakes out of weakness. I recognize that. But look at the people who, like Romans 1, knowing that there's judgment against this, not only do these things, but have pleasure in them that do it. It appears to me there are those who literally are looking and seeking to involve other people in actions such as this. The bed was on fire when I lay down on it. We have a problem in the church of people sleeping in on Sunday morning and forsaking the assemblies of the church. And I'm not talking about those that are sick. I'm not talking about those that have something beyond their control. As indicated in an article I've written in the bulletin, there's a difference in missing and forsaking. Do you think most of that is out of ignorance? I don't. There is a serious problem at Freed Hardeman University with students who go to Box Springs Church on Sunday morning. Yeah, I think that went through. That's sleeping. There are times at the Henderson Church when there are over 100 who take the Lord's Supper on Sunday night. I'm sure some of those have a logical reason. A reason that God understands. But I have heard students say, well, we're only going to go to church once on Sunday, and if we want to go on Sunday night, that's just as good, so we're going to sleep on Sunday morning and go to worship God. Isn't that really an interest in God? Isn't that really in love with Christ? And how many of those do you think don't know the difference? How many people who just don't have enough interest to get up and get ready and do things and be there, how many of them do that out of ignorance? Don't you think in most instances it's the bed was on fire when I lay down on it? I got up early enough this morning and walked 3 miles before I got ready to come to church. I could have very easily stayed in bed another hour and not done that. Folks, our biggest problem, I think you see the point that I'm making. I think this is true when it comes to obeying the gospel. Most of the audiences before whom I preach are filled with very few people who do not know that you need to obey the gospel. And yet, I've worked with people who've gone for years into their 70s and 80s and never been baptized into Christ. If you were to ask them, do you need to be baptized? Yes, sirree. But they haven't done it. And I've been associated with numbers of people down through the years who have been baptized into Christ and then have, out of weakness or something, slipped away. I am convinced that 99.44% of them know that staying out of the right relationship with Christ is wrong, it's dangerous, one can lose his soul. And yet some go on and on and on and never do anything about it. I recognize that there are times when we sin out of weakness. I recognize there are times when we sin out of ignorance. But most of the time, you think it through before you disagree with me. Most of the time, we make our mistakes with our eyes open. The bed was on fire when he lay down on it. How stupid. Maybe we need to look at ourselves. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is S-I-N, sin. James 4:17. Let me go through that again. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. All God expects is for us to learn the truth and do what we know. If you're here tonight and you know you need to become a Christian, you know you need to be restored, don't stay in that bed where the fire is, but get out of it and come to God as together we stand and sing.
There's a great day coming, a great day coming.